Ephesians chapter 4. I know you're familiar with the scripture. I'm familiar with the chapter. You should be by now. But I want to make sure we go back and touch on it. And we'll read through it. I may let you all read through it. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Without you, we're nothing. Without your leadership, your guiding, your hand being on this word, it's only ink on the page to us. And so we ask that you make it alive to us, make it fresh to us, make it to the point to where it initiates change on the inside of us, in our minds and in our hearts, and bring us to a place to where we can see you clearly, see your plan clearly. You have the master plan. We understand that. You got the big picture. We understand that. We don't have, we don't see. We see in part and we know in part, but you know it all. And so we're heavily leaning on you and heavily leaning on your power and heavily leaning on your direction. And as you lead, so will we go to help bring the church back to where you originally intended it to be. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Sitting in, I guess I was, I don't be trying to be deep, but I was sitting there. I was actually dozing off. I'm going to tell the truth, I was dozing off to sleep. You know how we get, I was sitting before the Lord. No, I wasn't. I was reading a little bit, but I dozed off, right? But in the midst of my sleep, I heard, make sure that that word you got is working in you first. Before it goes anywhere else. I had a meeting last night with some of my friends who was talking. And I made a little witty statement, because sometimes we like to, I know me being a preacher and then you being preachers also, we get excited when we get revelation. And the first thing you want to do when you hear something good, what you want to do? Tell somebody, huh? You know, we be tweeting on Twitter. Somebody wanted to say something last night. I said, no, don't tweet it. Eat it. You eat that word that you got. Before you go and try to tell anybody what they need to do, you do it. That's one of the most powerful things about apostles' ministry. There ain't nothing he telling you that he ain't doing. Ain't nothing he instructing you to do or pushing you toward that he hadn't done, and probably 20 times more than you are able to do it. We're going to read something in a minute. And we as the church, and then, of course, in ministry, we are, they call us the leaders of the church. The church is going to go whichever way we lead. He said, well, I thought God is directing the church. No. God is supposed to be directing us. But if we take something that God has entrusted us with, whether it's leadership and pastoring, or you ministering, or you have some kind of ministry, you take that and you go whatever way you want to go with it, then you lead the church now. So it depends on us. I know we depend on the Holy Ghost. Y'all understand me, right? I know we depend on the Holy Ghost, but it depends on whether you're going to listen to him or not. So now this word that we get, or the word that comes forth, got to run through us first before we can take it to anybody else, before we can ever change a church or change people, or not even so much change people, just change the situation. It's got to change in us first. Before you can bring change, you got to change. Before you can deliver any kind of deliverance to anybody else, you got to be delivered. And so this word is a part in this book we're going to read, and hopefully we get to it. It says the leadership. It said the leadership makes the mold of where the church goes. The leadership decides. The ministry, the ministers, they decide. And we're going to read in Ephesians 4 right quick. If you just walk into Ephesians 4, we're going to read this about, the every joint supplies, and we know about the fivefold ministry gifts, and we're going to read about it. But that decides which way the church goes. Why is the church all spread out? Because we all spread out. Why the church ain't making no progress? Because we ain't. The ministers ain't. Do you ever think about that before? Why we can't come together? Because we just not together. You got a bunch of renegade preachers. Y'all probably know some yourselves, don't you? They don't know who they submitted to. They don't know what submission is. They can't spell it. So now we all over the place. Government. So we all over the place. So now we're spread. And the scripture says a house divided against itself can't stand. And the enemy knows if he can divide you, then you can never move forward to conquer anything. more or less move forward, you can't even stand. Like you said, divided can't stand. And so the church has been laying on the ground, sleeping giant. Should be doing more, but because of everybody being everywhere, that's why connection is important. That's why submission is important. That's why government is important. Because once we get lined up and keep it on that streamline, and then keep it on that funnel that God has designed to heaven, then we all moving in one direction, and God could do something. Don't ever allow yourself to be a renegade. If you ever find yourself in a place where you don't know who you're submitted to, stop doing what you're doing at that moment and stay there and pray about that. Don't ask God for nothing else. Don't ask God for your ministry. Don't ask God for no building. Don't ask God to send you no money, because he's not going to do it until you got what's first. Now, see, these preachers leave out of here, and they get all excited, and they cool while they're here, because the government is in place. But then they get out of here, they lose their mind. They forget what man or man you was. Don't let that happen to you, because we can't get to church unusual if you're doing what's usual. What's usual is taking this word and going to run your mouth. What's usual is going to take this word, thinking you smart, and going to start a church. What's usual is you trying to prove that you know God. That's what's usual. Most preachers are doing that. If I could be honest, they're taking their personal vendettas, and they're just trying to prove that they're close to God. And they're trying to start a ministry with it so they can get some financial income. Can I be real with y'all? So they can get the non-profit status, so they ain't got to pay no taxes. Huh? All these different reasons they want ministry. Some of them want to be superstars. Some of them like people. Oh, pastor. And we missed the whole point. So now that's usual. So now the church has become usual. So now the effect that the church has, or supposed to have on the world, is not doing. And I'm reading this thing, and it says all the kingdoms are supposed to bow down to the kingdom of God until everything is dominated. But if it don't look like that, it's us. You see me?
Yes, sir.
It's us. Why it's not happening? And so you let that word work through you first. And even before you ever start a ministry, start doing, you consider your ways. Why are you doing this? Quick question. Why are you up in here right now? What's the goal? If the goal ain't God, then you're missing it. If the goal ain't just because you love him first, it don't matter. You know that, right? And so we consider that. See, I say this over and again. I don't want to leave out of here, man. I don't want even myself to do nothing. I don't want to leave out of here not knowing what the goal is, not knowing what we're trying to get to, because I'm done with usual church. It fires me up to see usual church. People preaching and yelling at you all Sunday, making you feel good. The Bible talking about tickling your ears. Nobody got no time for that no more. People out here dying. People out here going to hell. There's families breaking up. People losing their homes and all the different stuff going on. They need a word from the Lord. People need a fresh word. They need an open funnel from heaven to change the ground that they stand on. This is what's supposed to be happening. And if it's not, something's wrong. So you got to figure it out. Ephesians 4, and we'll read it. And everybody read together. We'll start off at verse 1. And you're going to read. Tell me when y'all ready. Y'all ready? Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Ready, read. Is that everybody reading? Okay, I'm going to start over. I don't hear a lot of male voices. Starting off at verse 1, ready, read. Thank you. Stop underlying until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Underline it in your Bible. You got it on your phone, highlight it. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, you're supposed to look like Christ. We're supposed to look like what Christ looks like. We're supposed to bring what Christ brings to the... Well, what does Christ bring to the church? You ever thought about that before? What comes along with Christ in the church? This is what we're supposed to be administering. Ministers, right? Comes from the word administration, pass it out. This is what we're supposed to be administering. What the actual question, you put it on your paper and you just meditate on that. We're not going to go into it right now. It's another message. But what does Christ bring to the church? What, you know, you say, what you bring to the table, right? But what does he bring to the table? It's more than just going to heaven. And that's the measure. Till we all come into the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God as a perfect man, unto, when you say unto something, you're coming unto it, like you're walking up to, like you're coming, you're approaching it, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, you read, ready, read. Y'all see the church in there? Do y'all see the today's, and I don't even like saying the church because I know what the church is, but the ones that's playing church right now, I'll use that. Every wind of doctrine, sleight of men, cunning craftiness, lying, wait to deceive. Huh? Oh, no. That ain't no sinners. What? Doctrine. Cunning craftiness. You know, when you're cunning, that means the enemy is cunning. The devil is cunning. Deceptive. It looks like one thing, but it's really another. It looks like it's right, but it's not right. Because if it just looked wrong, then of course you wouldn't know what it was. It wouldn't be a lie. It wouldn't be deception. It wouldn't be cunning craftiness. But it becomes cunning craftiness when you look like the clergy, but you're acting like a heathen. I ain't talking about being, I'm talking about the way you approach people, the way you minister. If there's anything else other than the love of God for the reason that you're doing it, it's cunning craftiness. You want what you want. Anything else but the love of God is self. Y'all get me? So now, no more children, Charles 2:4. And I think it said this after it talks about some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. I think it said that to line you up. To get back in government, because otherwise you're going to be tossed to and fro like children. Verse 15, read. Because of the blindness of their heart. Read 19, verse 19, read. And greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Thank you. you as a minister should know that chapter up and down, left and right. It should be always a constant read. Because it keeps you lined up on government. It keeps us letting us know what we're supposed to be doing and what we shouldn't be doing, especially as ministers. Page 26 in your book. As we was reading just now, I was thinking about skipping. I just want to touch on this one little part, and then we'll go on to moving the church supernatural element. At the bottom it says, I take that middle paragraph right before Ezra. You see where it says Ezra 1 and 2? Y'all see it? The paragraph right before, and we said this the last time we met, which has been a couple weeks now. The kingdom of God will swallow up all kingdoms of the world, and nations of the world will yield to the lordship of Christ through what? Through what? Y'all told me y'all were there. Through what?
The church.
The church is built to express and execute the kingdom mandate until every domain is impacted and every dominion is subjected to his lordship and reign. Don't mean they got to like it, but they got to bow. All right. Jump down to understand the assignment to lay hold of the mandate. When we understand why God has raised us up in that region, it will facilitate our organization and streamline our actions. Streamline our actions. Streamline our actions. You know, ministry is not a business venture. So it's not for your books. All right? Books may come from that, but it's not for you to write your books. All right? Ministry, you streamline. God, what is the streamline? What is it that you're trying to get me to accomplish? I think we miss it sometimes because we're everywhere. We're everywhere else but where we're supposed to be. You know, let me tell you something about Apostle. You know, Apostle wrote a bunch of books, right? Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
Y'all read all of them. Never mind. You reread some of them, so y'all know the books, right? But Apostle ain't start out trying to be no author. Y'all know where them books come from? The books come from his messages. He ain't sat down and wrote a word on there. I'm going to write this book. No, he preached the book. And it became a book. Why? Because he knew what his assignment was. Now, I'm not saying God won't make you an author, but if God didn't make you an author, you should have, if God called you to be a pastor, pastor. And let that other stuff, seek you first, kingdom, God, and righteousness, all these things be added. Then whatever other medium be added to that. You ever hear apostles talk about the time he wanted to, the time he was thinking about, you know, putting out a book, but he wasn't even, you know, he wasn't trying to write no book. And the lady that wrote Brother Hagin's book approached him and said, hey, if you ever need anything, you know, I'm here to help. I mean, it don't get no more simple than that, huh? Let me tell you something about Apostle's life, and I gotta keep going there, but it's based off of a fact that I'm just doing what God wants me to do. And that's it. I don't want or need nothing else. This is all I want. God is your will. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. That's hard to do when you got a lot of wants. And you want some things, you know, and you just want some things to happen. Like, I get it, but it's all a streamline from the fact that he was just, all right, God, it's just me and you. What you want to do? And then God dropped this off. And God dropped this off. And God bring this over here. And he do that. And he bring this person in. He bring these people around. And all this stuff start happening. See, that sounds like seek your first kingdom, God, and righteousness. All these things to be added. Not try to add these things to fulfill the kingdom of God. That's where we lose that. So now the church becomes behind. Because instead of being the church, remember we talked before, you out in the streets trying to drag people to the church. No, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, the people are going to be coming. And in your course of your day, I understand. I'm not saying don't invite nobody to church. But do what you're doing. And then everything, it's like a magnet. See, the love of God and being totally focused on God and his will becomes a divine magnet in your life. So where everything that's supposed to be in your life will be attracted to your life. You will not have to pull. You can't pull it no way. Y'all, tell the truth. How much we didn't try to pull that wasn't coming in? Huh? Come on, me too. Amen. Try to pull it. Let's go. We're going to work a little hard. You can't pull it. You can't do it. So now I break it down and I streamline to what God has called me to do in your prayer time. You streamline that and find out. You know, I'll see these people sometimes say, you know, I'll be online sometimes, and these people got these bios, and they be like, I'm a author / pastor / actor / entertainment lawyer / product manager / marketing director. How you're not going to be nothing. Lord told me the other day to call a friend of mine, and I told her, I said, listen, Lord brought your name up the other day. He told me all the stuff you're doing ain't going to be nothing if you ain't got your connection right. All these things, it don't matter. Streamline that thing. And later, further down in this book, it says most people don't know. Look at the bottom and say they don't know that. Most churches don't know their niche assignment. They don't know what God called them to do. Y'all see that down there? They don't know their niche. Y'all know what they say, the niche, right? What's your thing is? What's your thing? Like, what's your thing that makes you tick? What is that thing that you can't stop thinking about? What is that part of ministry that you can't get off your mind? When you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, God is putting that on your mind. What is that niche? That thing ain't on your mind for accident. I don't believe in coincidence. God put you in the area that you are, the place that you live, the places you do business sometimes. God dropped you off there for a reason. God said, I'm going to do it here in Darrow. What? But here we are. It was a reason for it. There's no accident. And so finding the niche assignment. Most churches can't find the niche assignment God has given them. So watch this. They carry on other people's business. Y'all see that line? They carry on other people's business in their church when they should be doing what God has called them to do. How often have we seen that? There's been too much carnality born in the church. There's been too much outside strategy brought into the church. There's been too much outside. There's a message that Leroy Jr. preached on Friday morning that will bust your head. That's just the best way I can put it. Just bust your head. Just bust your head and get you thinking. Because there's all this other stuff going on, and we're trying to bring stuff into the church and use our strategy. But God ain't called us to use nobody else's strategy but his. Ain't no strategy better than this. But then the word of God says, but the children of this world and their generation wiser than the children of light. Why? Because they tend to use our principles better than us. And then they got it working on a carnal level. Right? Ain't no everlasting in it, though. Ain't no eternity in it. But the principles still work. As long as the earth remains seed time and harvest, you know, day and night, all the different stuff you say, right? So the principle works. So they go work it. We get excited because they worked it better than we work it. So we go get a principle from them to bring back here, which was already ours. But we just got it watered down because it's gone through some carnality. Do y'all see the trick? It's a trick of the enemy. So another moment, we just got to break stuff down, man. We got to break down our mind, break down our thinking, break down what we think church is, break down what the church entities. We got to break that down and get back to the bare minimum. I'm just loving the Lord my God with all my heart and my soul and my mind. And whatever it is you calling me to do, if you call me here to preach to these two chairs, I'm going to preach to these two chairs until one of them catches spirit. So they carry on other people's business in the church instead of doing what God called them to do. Jump over to page 27. I ain't got no clock on, so you're going to tell me. Yeah, I think it's the 1, 2, 3. I think the second paragraph, it's kind of the third paragraph on the paper. Say, we were given the privilege to raise the church. Y'all see that? We were given the privilege to raise the church that would fulfill assignment and accept his kingdom mandate. I was not instructed to raise a what? What kind of church? I'll make an attempt to start one now. Just the author talking, all right? He says, we have focused everything we do, plan, or say for what? Fool's assignment? Mm-hmm. We only have a mandate from God for that. Now, if you only have a mandate for God for something, then you only have an anointing for God for something. That thing. You can't. Don't be asking God for no anointing nowhere else. He gonna anoint you where the mandate is. Just when people what the center doing bringing the ball down the court, playing basketball? I used to watch him when Shaq was playing. He want to run the fast break. What you doing? Then you fall on the floor on the other end of the court, and you wonder why you're down there, because you're not built that way. Get on the block. Y'all know nothing about it. Get on the block, in the post, and do what you built to do. Every joint supply. Come on, y'all. Come on. Every joint supply. Find your assignment. Every joint supply. Because when you're in your spot, you play the best. Because you built that way. Everybody won't be the point guard because they get to handle the rock. That is my ball talk. That's my hooping talk. You get to handle the ball, so everybody won't be the point guard. The point guard kind of directs everything, but everybody ain't no point guard. Sometimes you just got to come off the pick, catch the ball, and shoot. That's all you do. Whole game. You used to have the dude, they just play good defense. We're not going to let them shoot because they can't. But I bet nobody going to get around them. So play your role. Oh, I don't have a mandate for that. Stop looking over at them other people's assignment. What God called you to do? There's a beautiful gift on the inside of everybody. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And when you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, then we as a body can get some things together. Can the ear say to the eye, I don't need it? No, but the ear must be in place. It can't be trying to stand over here by the eye. Because imagine that. So finding your spot, it's not a very hard thing to do. God, what's in my spot? God, what's in my spot? He'll lead you there. Acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. He'll lead you there. It's very simple. It's simple as sitting at Jesus' feet. That's it. Don't be coming about my servant like Martha. Huh? No. We need to work. Let's do the work in a minute. No. Sit at the feet. He'll make it happen. You only got an anointing for what is mandated for you. So now, there's a place. There's a place in God that he's trying to drop something off in the place that he called you to be. Because he called you to be right here. And he's constantly dropping off everything that belongs to you there. He's trying to bring it right there where he's mandated you to be. But if you're sitting over here, then you're missing everything that God has called for you to be. And you might be all right because, you know, if this opened up and water started pouring right here, right? He'll still get wet. He'll get a little water. So you feel like, look like you're close to God because you get a little, but you ain't got all he had for you. Because you're supposed to catch the whole, from the whole funnel. So scoot over. Small adjustments sometimes. The Bible says small foxes. God spoiled the whole vine. So find your spot. Scoot over. Make an adjustment. Stop that. Break that down. Quit doing that. Stop talking that way. Don't preach that message no more. That ain't your calling. Huh? And adjust and get what God has called you to be. Because you are only anointed for what you're mandated for. He said we'll focus everything we do. Watch this. We focus everything we do. Plan or say for our assignment. We only have a mandate for that. We choose not to be like others or pattern our church to be like someone else. This church is in LTMA right now. They ain't just like Word of Life. They're not exactly like this. Different people. Now, they'll pattern because they know that it works. And so, anything that works, I don't know who made the first automobile, but whoever made the first automobile, whoever made the second company, automobile company, sure enough took a pattern from the first one. Because this works. But I might have a different crowd coming in, but the basic principle is still the same. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Right? Yes, love him with everything. And so, it may be a little different. Your calling may be a little different, but the access to the anointing is always the same. And the process of it goes the same always. But you are only anointed for what you're mandated for. So stop looking at apostle and being excited because you think he got some jets and he flying all over the world and he got money in his pocket, that's what you gonna do. Whoa. Because people start churches for that. Whatever God called you to do, that's what you're going to do. Streamline. But you can't look at that and be excited, oh, now I won't be a preacher. You know, that's how a lot of young, I want to get to the young generation. And not just young generation church, I want to get to, God give me an opportunity to get in these schools because these kids got to understand, you got to talk to God about this. You got to talk to God about what he's called you to do. Not even just being a minister, but whatever he's assigned you to do. Don't be trying to go be no doctor because you think doctors get money. So I know some broke ones. And they probably made a decision to be something that they wasn't supposed to be. Do y'all get me? So now in preaching, we can't be looking at all these preachers looking on TV and all. Some of that stuff ain't real. 90% of it ain't. I've been there. Listen, I done met them. God bless them all. But a lot of stuff ain't all what it's cracked up to be. Lord, if I could just get like that ministry right there. If God dropped you off in that situation right now at this moment, you'd be begging for him to take it back. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Streamline. Find out what God has mandated you to do. Now, it's great to see apostle. It's great to see somebody like him walking in the anointing like that. And God doing what he's doing because it gives me hope. But I shouldn't be up there trying to do what he's doing so I could just get what he got. He ain't do what he was doing to get what he got. Hold on, y'all didn't catch that. He didn't do what he was doing to get, y'all see me? To get what he got. What he got him. What he got just came. Because he was doing what God called him to do. He ain't go. Lord, I'm doing Daryl. He started passing the church. 35 members, some kids. He ain't go trying to call nobody telling him, let me come preach to your church. He wasn't trying to be no evangelist. He wasn't trying to travel to nobody else's church and do it. But they started calling. Well, what you mean? They started calling. Well, what you want me to do? They started calling and God was giving them a word. So now this came. See, ministry and church should be easier than what we making it. But we got to break down this old mindset that we got and just sit back and say, God, what is it? Now, this move is kind of difficult sometimes because when you start stepping out on this kind of faith, it's to the point where ain't no ground there. You kind of suspended in the air and your next breath comes from faith. You kind of own that water. Remember he was walking on that water? You kind of own that water. Ain't no ground nowhere. Now you on the water. And you know, you get a little too far from the boat. You on your own. You know, we could hold on to you ever, when you're in a pool and you're in the deep end, right? You can hold on to that side. When you push out in the middle of that water, it better be something there. You better have something there to swim. It's a faith thing when now you out on that water. And ain't nobody there but you and God. And it's uncomfortable sometimes. We tend to do the things that we know to do because it's comfortable to us and it's easy and it never stretches us. But we got to be able to step out that way and get out there, just streamline. Just got whatever you want. No, ain't got no plans. Huh? No, we don't. We don't have. You say, "Well, Montreal, write the vision." Yeah, write the vision. But then, how's the vision gonna be taken? How it gonna take place? First of all, who gave you the vision? Number one, all right, he gave you the vision, right? And then the next thing he do, he's gonna give you the steps for the vision. Now you can write out your 10 steps if you want to, but you need to write out on your list. Step one, step two, then right after step three, put trip, because that's what's gonna happen to you. I just want you to write it on your list whenever you do it. Trip. Get up, dust my knees off, 4, 5. Now, if you're still writing your steps after that, then something's wrong with you because then you get to 5, 6, and you fall. You know that's why ministers fall, right? That's why we're seeing so much falling in the church, right? Because it's not what they're mandated to do. they've gotten to a place where it's not about what God wants anymore. It's what they want. He's going to say it in the book in a second. We get off over there wanting to do what we've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be this. I've always what I dreamed about. What about God's dreams? What about what he dreamed about? We choose not to be like others. I pattern our church to be like someone else. Ooh, y'all see the next line? You see the next line? Read it. If we do, we would cease to become useful to God and expire our own existence. Now, it says, if we do, we would. If we do, we would. If we do, your existence expired, God ain't doing nothing with you, you feel like it ain't nothing taking off, if we do, we expire our own existence. Most pastors don't have a clear, this next paragraph, most pastors don't have a clear understanding of God's mandate for the local church, as many still think it's a what? A healing center or a gathering house for fellowship and friendship. You thought it, didn't you? Huh? You tell the truth. You thought it was for soul winning, huh? You know, I saw one day, I was at an event one time, man. An event, I'll just be honest with you, it wasn't too kosher. Somebody invited me to the event, wasn't too kosher. But in that situation, I'm looking around, and I'm like, man, these people, you know, they're kind of rough. They're kind of wild out here. But in my mind, I'm clicking, I'm like, and I sat there, I kid you not, I sat down, and I said, Lord, because they ain't doing all kinds of, I said, Lord, I said, how do you reach these people? Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking about standing up right there, you know the word of the Lord. That ain't ever my job right there. But I'm just thinking in my mind, because we don't see that sometimes. Sometimes we come together in ministry school, or sometimes we come together at church, and we all look alike, right? We all got suits on, and praise the Lord for that. But sometimes we don't see that. They got people out there that's lost, man. They got people out there that's looking for a way. That's why I said, how do you reach these people? And the Lord started giving me revelation, and what he showed me was everybody ain't going to walk up to the altar at your church. But we think that's what it's for, a soul winning center, huh? We think for a soul. You go to average church, you ain't got no arm thrust of altar call walking on Sundays. Most of the people at your church on Sunday are the people that been at church last Sunday. Tell the truth. Huh? So it's not just the soul. I'm not saying your soul can't get one at the center. But it's not a soul winning center. Or it's not just a healing center. If the church was based on just being a healing center, or healing only took place in the church, then Jesus' whole ministry wouldn't have been. He ain't do none of it in the church. Church building, huh? Go read. Y'all go read your Bible. So it's not just a soul winning center. Not just a healing center. It's not just a gathering for the fellowship. Thank the Lord for it. I like fellowshipping with the brother. But you know that comes secondary to what I came for. I came to see what God was saying, to make a special place, an awesome place, right? And that our anointings can mingle. You know, we talked about that before, right? This is what I came for, and if healing comes, praise the Lord. If the healing virtue enters the room, well, praise the Lord. But we came to get with God. So they don't know. They don't know. Most pastors don't have a clear understanding, so now they revert to the normal. They go back to default. You're playing these games sometimes, or even when you use a computer sometimes, you click the settings, click default, and they go back to the setting, they go back to default. So you go back to the regular, to the usual. All the special settings that God has put on the inside of you. There's a way when I work on my computer and I do music, there's settings that you can put. And there's some things that you can do with your, when you use the microphone, there's settings. You can turn your treble up, turn your bass down. My voice is bass heavy, so I got to turn my bass down. Turn the treble, I can compress it a little bit. I can add a little echo on it, but I can make it really loud or really low. And I can set it perfectly for what I want it to sound like on that song. So in that control, I have set the settings especially for me. But one click of a button, and it'll set back to default, and everything will go even, and I'll lose my specialness. I lose the specialty that fits me. And so because they don't understand, and all that get and get what? And all that get and get what? Understanding. But because you don't understand, you end up pressing the default button, boom, and now we got this cookie cutter church. We all look the same, and we all just the same. Nobody look, and it gets old. That gets old. Nobody looks different. We're all, it gets old. No more power. Now you just a little marching crew. Y'all see? Now all y'all do is come to church and shout and yell. That's all y'all do. That's how they feel, yeah. That's how they feel about the church. That's all y'all do. They don't see no power. It's only because there's no understanding. You think it's a soul winning center, you think it's a healing center, you think it's a fellowship center. When we first understand the accurate concept of his church, notice I say his, right? Y'all see where I'm at? And establish it well in the minds of the people and in the hearts of the leadership. In the hearts of the leadership. Minds of the people, but the hearts of the leadership. The minds of the people, but the hearts of the leadership. Then God can show us further our primary assignment established on the solid foundation of what is the true church. But the minds of the people cannot be adjusted or touched without your heart first being changed. Leadership. We're going to decide where this thing is going to go. You can flip over to the next page, 28. This is the second paragraph. You see the paragraph that starts with some churches? Jump to the second sentence, and it says, we cannot anticipate all churches to be raised for the same reason. Y'all see that? Every joint supplies. It talks about the Marines down. We talked about the Marines earlier. Now jump down to the bottom. You see that last sentence starting on the bottom? But jump up to the last sentence in the paragraph right before that says, they can use the apostolic blueprints and build accurately and succeed progressively. Those who are built inaccurately will not choose the way that we are building. And he's talking about Isaac and his organization. Now watch this. The second sentence, you see where it starts, many senior pastors? It says, many senior pastors of megachurches have told me, and Isaac pastors, that what we teach and preach and reveal as God's apostolic blueprint is what? Accurate, scriptural, and true. So they admitted that it was right, huh? You see that? But look at this next part. But to follow this way would mean dismantling a lot of things that's working for them now through inaccurate principle and process and procedure. The church machinery or monster has been created to rotate in a certain way, and it is operational to produce what they have always wanted as a church. What they have always wanted as a church. What they have always wanted as a church. Dismantling. Being able to break down. The Bible talks about the word of God being problem for reproof and correction. Right? You ever heard that before? Then it talks about another place. It says to tear down and to root up. And then to plant and to build. If the concept has not been done accurately from the beginning, that's fine. I understand. We all do it. Cool. But let's go back and break down. I was telling some friends the other day, your foundation. Everybody say foundation. Foundation. Your foundation is important because your foundation determines what kind of building you got. How high you can build, how wide you can build, your foundation determines that. So your foundation has to be understanding your mandate. If you don't understand your mandate, you'll build improperly. And you'll build wrong. But one thing about a foundation also is, if you don't pull that foundation properly, you have cracks in your foundation. You know what happens when you got a real bad crack, Derek? You know this, when you have a real bad crack in the foundation, you know, you can't just pour a little concrete on top of that and paste it over. And hope that it fix it? No. Now you got to cut the ground. Anybody ever had to do this before? Anybody ever worked jackhammer? You men ever worked jackhammer before? You cut that ground. You got to cut it. You cut the ground first. And then you start jackhammer. I've been in a jackhammer. Jackhammer, you shaking all night, boy. You be in it. like that at night. It would. I'm telling you, the jackhammer boy, you be like, hey, what's up, y'all? All right, I'm doing all right. The jackhammer, how you doing that? But you got to cut that ground, then break it up. And break that spot up where you don't want to be. Then you gotta cut that all that rhubarb down there and all that wire, get all that loose. Huh? Y'all, but it's work now. You say, how you know? Because I done it before. Don't let them suits and them shoes fool y'all. Break that ground up. Then you gotta pick them big rocks up. Put them in a wheelbarrow. Take them somewhere else. You can't just dump them on the ground right by the hole. You gotta take them somewhere else, go dump them. Get rid of them. And after you've done all that and got it all cleaned out, then you might need to dig a little bit more, and then you got to put some more wire down. And then you got to pull your slab over again. You see that? It's breaking up. It takes that some time to tear down and to root up, then to plant and to build. But what is it worth to you? If you ain't getting what you want, if you ain't getting what the Word of God says you should have, go back to the basics. Let's break this down. Ego. It's a terrible thing because ego won't let me go backwards. Ego said, you can't go backwards because then people are going to know that you was wrong all the time. Who cares? Ego is the dirtiest devil in the church. Ain't nobody got more ego than preachers. Not no, y'all talk, not no basketball player, not no entertainer. No, ain't nobody got more ego than preachers. You know why? Because not only they have ego, but then ego makes them think that it's based on the Word of God. So they don't want nobody to tell them nothing. Break it down. I can't go no further. But dismantling. Don't be afraid to dismantle. And a lot of us in here are on the brink of ministry. On beginning ministry is a good place. But make sure that you understand what God is calling you to do. All right? Don't get up there and be saying, I like what such and such, Reverend such and such, or Bishop such and such, or Pastor such and such is doing. I ain't worried about Pastor such and such, Bishop such. They ain't God. I ain't worried about what they doing. What you doing? I'm going to say this about myself, and if I know it's about myself, this is what I love about ministry school. This is my second year, third year. I love this. I love this. I absolutely love it. I just love it, right? Because I'm going to say something that I want to see, but then just think about how much more God wants to see. But it will be a beautiful thing for us to leave out of this school and leave the school, and then your gifts start coming out. Because I don't know what your gift is. I know y'all nice people, right? I know we can get along, but there's some things in there that's deeper than just our smile and our, hey, how you doing this evening? There's some gifting that God has put on the inside of you that'll make my life more beautiful. There's some gifts on the inside of y'all that'll touch me. But if you don't ever find out what your gifting is and you don't break down and get to your bare minimum, then I might be missing out. And so now both of us don't know. We both missing out because you don't know and I don't know, so we both stealing from each other. That's what God called it to be. Iron sharpened iron, that's what he's talking about. And God wants to see that. God wants to see your gift come out. He wants to see that thing that he put in you, Jeremiah 1, that thing he put in you before you came out, the womb, before your parents even thought about you, that thing that he had planned out. He wants to see that. He has a purpose for it. So let's get off the church on you. Let's get off the church entity. Let's get off the stuff that we think. Man, get off of that. Let's get off of that for a minute. Let's break it down. Let's dismantle. Let's dismantle. Let's break it down. And let's get back to the root. Let's get back to the heart of the matter. And find out what God is saying to you. And he might not ever call you to pastor a church. He might not ever call you to fly around the world. But do whatever he called you to do. And be content in that. God will bless you in that spot. The reason we miss out on the blessing is because we're in the wrong spot sometimes. Find out what God has called you. Walk worthy, Ephesians. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You got to break that down. Find that. Then it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to the body. Now, blessing to the body don't mean you got an international TV ministry. But we think that, huh? You're such a blessing to the body because, No, you're a blessing to the body because you're doing your part. If you don't do your part, then you become a hindrance to the body. And that's why we're limping. Blessing the body ain't got nothing to do with the outward stuff that we see. Has nothing to do with all the excitement stuff we see. It's all about what's on the inside. That's when it becomes a blessing to the body. Don't let anybody tell you nothing different. I don't, this is just me. I don't watch a lot of Christian TV. We got a lot of craziness going on out there. And they make you think that that's not us. That's not what we look like. And so don't want that stuff. I'm not saying all everything on TV, Chris TV is bad. I'm not saying that. But don't let a lot of that stuff get in you. Don't get all caught up with what God's saying. God, what you calling me to do? All right, I'm not moving until you tell me move. I'm not ambitious. You don't be ambitious with God. You follow his leadership. I got to go, y'all. All right. Bless you.